The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you so much. They did a super job. Amen. And I appreciate that. My wife sings to me like that around the house all the time, and I do appreciate my dear wife. We have so much crazy time together. It's just a joy. We've been married now almost 33 years, and you know, I'm looking forward to us growing older and grayer together, and then, of course, losing all of our teeth and just gumming each other to death. Amen. I'm just excited about the future. I really am. And so that's so neat. Now, look in your Bible, if you will, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, and watch what the Bible says here as I reread it again. The Bible says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words, as he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened," again, watch these exact words, "their hands for this good work." And so there was a good work. Now, can I tell you, serving God is a good work. Amen. When you have the opportunity to serve God through a very, very much caring church like Parkside Baptist Church, may I say, it's an exceptional good work. So let me speak to you tonight, if I may, on the time we have allotted together, on strengthening your hands for this good work. Strengthening your hands for this good work. You know, when I was coming up as a young man, my granddad taught me a little bit about how to work. Once I moved in with my parents at the age of about six and learned to work with my dad, who was an electrician, Maryland National Bank, and was also a part of the computer part of that. And God broadened his opportunities to be able to serve in that capacity so that he became over all of the Maryland National Banks. And at one time, he had close, I guess, to 200 to 300 people, maybe more, that worked underneath his tutorship as he was over different banks. Then he expanded into Pennsylvania and started some things there. And of course, my brother took that part over when Dad went home to the Lord, and we had the Wells Electric Company that was in Pennsylvania until my brother went home to be with the Lord. And so what happened was he put his hand to something, put his hand to the plow, if you will, and he did not take his hand off of the plow. And can I tell you, God expanded that. I believe as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe, however, if you put your hand to that which is the work of God, God expands it even greater. I believe that God blesses it even greater. Now, believe it or not, I believe that everybody in here is in the ministry in one way or another. God has given you a personal ministry. Now, it might be that your ministry is maybe you're an encourager, and you go up to people and you encourage people here in the local church and roundabout as you go. It might be that your ministry is being a Sunday school teacher. It might be that your ministry is in the music department and you sing and you use your talents and your abilities to be able to point people to Christ and to be able to prepare their hearts for the preaching and the teaching in the Bible. It might be that God is using you in a way as an assistant Sunday school teacher or working on a bus route as a bus captain or a bus captain or bus driver, bus captain, or bus worker. It might be that God's using you in the nursery, and my, don't we thank God for the nursery. It might be that God is using you to work in the Spanish department. It might be that God is using you to be able to work in the Gems and Jewels. It might be that God's using you to work in one of the, we have 11 different services that go on here on Sunday morning, and maybe you're an integral part of one of those services, whether it's Gems and Jewels or the Spanish department or preaching in a C junior church or preaching in one of our five B junior churches or one of our two A junior churches or maybe helping out in some other aspect here on Sunday morning. It might be that you work here in the front. It might be that you're one of the named takers here in the front, or it might be that you're a soul winner that we call down to the front. Maybe that you help out in the clothes closet. It might be that you help out maybe in one of the many banquets that we have here every year. It might be that you help out in the youth conference as a youth worker, or maybe somebody that volunteers to be able to come in as we have hundreds of young people that come here for our National Youth Conference every July. It might be that God uses you to help out the Baptist Leadership Conference as we host that, to be able to help preachers around the Texas and many, many other states that's now coming to the Baptist Leadership Conference. It might be that you travel with one of the mission teams that goes overseas, as we just returned from the Philippines, and we'll be going to many other countries as the years pass by. Might be that God's using you in the youth department, and you're one of the faithful youth workers that work there, or the children's department. You may be one of those that work in one of the children's choirs that we have, or maybe you work with the teen choir. Maybe you work with our bus teens as they sing. Maybe you work in one of the other choirs that we have, like the adult choir, or maybe you're trying to help out as we're trying to start some other different types of musical things, such as the orchestra, and we're trying to get people in the orchestra, which is a new thing for us. Now, you know, maybe you're working in some other aspect, as an usher perhaps, or maybe you're working as a greeter that greets people as they come in, and you're one of those men or one of those husbands and wives teams that we've assigned to a certain door, and when people come in the door, you open the door for them. You might be helping out in Young Fundamentalists. You may be helping out in Bible Blazers. You may be helping out in one of the discipleship programs that we have. You may be working in our college as one of our college teachers, or maybe you're helping out and working as somebody that is on staff, or maybe volunteering even, helping out at Parkside Baptist Academy. It might be that you're helping out in some other aspect of one of the other ministries that we have, such as America for Christ, which is a phenomenal ministry, having over 60 saved yesterday as they went down into the inner parts of Dallas. Maybe you're volunteering and you're helping out on a bus route. You're not a bus worker per se, but you go out every Saturday and you help out and you go soul winning and you're knocking doors and you're passing out flyers and you're doing your very best to be able to influence your neighborhood and people for Christ. And so we're a working church. We're a church that has a bookstore and people work in there. And we're a church that has special needs ministries where we reach out through that, not just to help in the special needs ministries we have here, but be able to help and to be able to instruct people that have special needs children as to how they can rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You might be a deacon. You might be a deacon's wife. And so both of you serving the Lord and being faithful in your place, setting that good, godly example for other people to follow. You might be an assistant pastor's wife who is very much, oftentimes more than not, operating in the shade. I mean, behind the scenes. And as your husband works on staff here as one of my assistant pastors and they're putting in the long hours, may I say you're not forgotten. And you lift up their hands and you're one of the heroes of the hour, and we appreciate you. It might be that maybe you work in the financial office that we have here, or maybe you're working as one of the secretaries that labors behind a desk and nobody sees you except the computer screen. And it might be that that's what you do. It might be that you're volunteering to help in one of the other ministries that I did not so name right now. But we are a church that has a lot of ministries. We're a church that's very broad. We're a church that's very deep. But yet we're a church that has a lot of different places for people to plug in. We have the Baptist Scout Rangers program, a brand new program started. And maybe you have volunteered as a man to be able to work with these men, to be able to train these young men as Scout Rangers. We have the Far Above Rubies program. It's been here for many years, and maybe you have helped out in the Far Above Rubies program. We have the sports program, the basketball and the volleyball and the soccer and so many different things that goes on throughout the year. We have all sorts of different things that people get involved in. And this is a ministry where if a person wants to actually get involved in, can I tell you, there's a place for you. There's a place for you to rise up, and there's a place for you to serve. There's a place for you to get in, get your hands dirty. There's a place for you to get in and be able to help out with a custodial staff or with a janitorial staff or with a serving staff. There's always places for people to be able to serve at Parkside Baptist Church. And can I say again, this is a great place to serve. This is a place where you can dive in, and can I say that this is a good work. Now, how is it that we can strengthen our hands in doing such a good work. Let me give you some Bible answers to that. Statement number one, ask God to help and strengthen. Ask God to help and strengthen. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. The Bible also says that the arm of the flesh shall fail you. You know, if somebody tries to do that, which is a ministry in the arm of the flesh, can I tell you, you will be successfully doing it as a failure. Because God does not want you to operate in the arm of the flesh. God wants to operate through you. That's how come the Apostle Paul prayed that the Holy Spirit of God would have free course through him. Through him. In other words, he wanted himself out of the way, and he wanted God to be the one in the way of being able to reach other people. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Apostle Paul realized he couldn't do it by himself. What did he have to do? He had to bow himself to the, if you would please, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul realized, and by the way, very proficient, could speak many different languages, was used in various ministries, was certainly a great man of God, was a great preacher, no doubt, as we've read some of the sermons, a great pulpiteer. He was a great instructor, great church planner, fulfilled that which is the ministry of being a missionary, being a pastor, all sorts of things. But yet we understand that the Apostle Paul said, hey, there came a day I just had to bow the knee. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this. It says, "And he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might." Listen to it now. It says, "by his spirit in the inner man." By his spirit, capitalized Holy Spirit. You know, when I put my spirit in his hand, now the Holy Spirit has free reign. You know, somebody said, well, I tell you what, I think the preacher ought to be spirit filled. Let me submit to you something tonight, church family. I believe the listeners ought to be spirit filled too. I believe that revival is not going to take place in America just because some preacher mounts a pulpit somewhere, opens his mouth and hollers for 45 minutes. I don't think that's going to happen. And by the way, that spirit can be filling that preacher, and that preacher can be spirit-filled, if you will, and he can be full of the Holy Ghost, and he can preach. But wait a minute. I think if we're going to have revival, there needs not only to be Holy Spirit preaching, there needs to be Holy Spirit listening. You need to have stuff out of your way so that God can reach down into your heart. You realize if you look it up in your Bible concordance, the word yesterday is mentioned only 9 times. If you look up in your Bible concordance, the word tomorrow is only mentioned 103 times. But if you look up in your Bible concordance, the word today is mentioned 2,600 times. You know what that gives me a good, strong indication of? God is concerned, yes, about yesterday, but not as much as that which is tomorrow. But God's not as concerned about tomorrow as he is today. I think you ought to do an evaluation of what did you do for Jesus Christ today? There's a lot of hopeful wishes of what I might do tomorrow. There's a lot of sad notations about what I wish I would have did yesterday. But can I tell you, you have today. And isn't it great that he's fresh every morning? You say, well, I made a mistake today. Well, that's okay. Tomorrow's coming. Well, preacher, I didn't read my Bible today, and I'm so tired, I don't think I can do it tonight. But tomorrow's coming. Well, preacher, I tried to witness to somebody this past weekend, but nobody listened. Nobody received the gospel tract, and nobody got saved. Well, can I tell you, next weekend's coming, Monday's coming, Tuesday's coming, Wednesday's coming, Thursday's coming, Friday's coming, and next weekend will certainly arrive soon. Can I tell you that, but we ought to live in the presence. I know some people that live always in the past. Well, I wish. The only problem with that is the past is gone. You can't live in the past. You'll grow old living in the past. I know some people that have a great hope for tomorrow, and they hope for tomorrow. They hope for tomorrow. But can I tell you, dear beloved friend, you ought to thank God that God gave you today. God allows us to be able to have today. And he reminds us 2,600 times about how important today is. So ask God for help and strength. Statement number two, how can I strengthen my hands for this good work? Draw strength from God's word. Don't just pray about it. Get in God's word and let God speak to you. The word of God. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You know, as we take the word of God and we hide it in our heart, the word of God will give us strength. You know, somebody can walk beside you, pat you on the back, but that's temporal. And can I tell you, that's about as good as it gets from an individual. But because you have a Holy Spirit of God, when the Word of God is preached and when the Word of God is taught and you get in your Bible and you read the Word of God, can I tell you that that Word of God will take up residence inside of you and you will be able to pull. Have you ever studied a manual? Maybe some of you are IT guys or IT gals, and you study a manual about the idiosyncrasies of how to be able to do computer work. And as you study these things and you concentrate on it, and finally it resonates in your mind and in your heart about how to do this, and you go into the job and you figure it out. You know, some of you are those that are in accounting, and as you're in accounting and you're figuring this out, and can I tell you, listen to me, some of you are involved in so many other different types of skills in banking. We have people in here that's in banking. We have people that's in law firm offices. We have people that work in hospitals as nurses and et cetera. And can I tell you, when you all of a sudden get it, when all of a sudden it clicks, you ever see somebody that's in high school? You ever see somebody that's in college and they've studied, they can't get it. They're knocking their head against the wall and they can't get it. They're trying to memorize it and they can't get it. They just can't seem to get it in. And then all of a sudden they get it in and the countenance changes. You know why? Because now they understand. Well, can I tell you, listen, we need to draw strength from God's word because he'll help us to understand. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the Bible says, every word of the Lord, or every word of God, it says, is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So he's their shield. Oh, wait a minute. And his word is pure unto us. The word of God is that which gives us a good perspective on what we can do for God right now. Statement number one, you ask God for his help and strength. You draw strength from God's word. Statement number three, release the weaknesses that's in your hand. You know, but you understand, preacher, I've tried and it doesn't work. Understand. But when we get God involved, you can try it. It might not work. But if you try with God involved, it will work. Remember old Peter? Peter said, well, I fished all night and we caught nothing. But he says, okay, but at thy word, I'll let down the net. Now, God told him to let down the nets, plural. He didn't have enough faith for that. So he said, now, God, I'm not going to let down the nets. But he said, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Well, God filled that net so much that it did burst. And God would have filled the nets if Peter would have had enough faith to believe him. Sometimes God would try and get you to do something and he'll try and push you along and you'll say, okay, God, I'll do this much, but I'm not going to do this much. Okay, God, I'll give you this much, but I'm not going to, you know, God, I can trust you for salvation, which is eternal life, by the way, but I cannot trust you for my problem today. Now, isn't that amazing how we can trust God for eternity, but we can't trust God for the insignificant that we face that's in our present life today? Do you realize that God wants to help us to understand that our weaknesses, we're supposed to release them and trust him? You know, no man in here is worthy to be used of God. Teenager walks around all cocky, arrogant, and full of self-ego and thinks, well, I tell you what, I am worthy. Nobody in here is worthy to be used of God. But can I tell you, it's by the good grace of God and by the good mercy of God that God chooses to be able to use you as an individual and use me as an individual. And can I say, he's not going to do that until we become weak so that he can become strong. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So God says that we're supposed to release those things that's causing us not to run the race. You know, D.L. Moody was overweight. And he lost all of his children. Not one of his children turned out for God. But he didn't allow that to be a weight. He still served God. He himself was faithful. There was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He smoked cigars most of his life and was known as a Calvinist in his doctrine. But yet he didn't allow those things, if you will, to pull him down so that he never served God. You know, there was David Livingston. Every time you see David Livingston, when he was out there and he was traveling in Africa and he was laying down the new trails as an explorer. Now, we know him as the great missionary, don't we? But every time you see him exploring and he's not posing as a missionary, he's sucking on a pipe. Hello. Did you know, and I'm not saying it's good to smoke cigars you ladies, stay away from that. I'm not saying it's good for you to smoke cigars like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And by the way, you men don't touch them either. Amen. You know when he quit? Can I tell you when Spurgeon quit? One day he saw a big old sign advertised in a city that he was preaching, and it said, "Smoke the cigars that Spurgeon smokes." He looked up there and he thought, man, that's a bad testimony. Yeah. And then he quit smoking. But first it had to be put on a bulletin board. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want God to place all my mistakes on a bulletin board. But that's what it took for him. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Dale Moody, overweight, lost his children, still kept going. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known in some of his doctrine as a Calvinist, smoking cigars, but still went on. There was David Livingston, sucking on a pipe, had a huge number of people that was against him, including his own brother, and had no conversions the first half of his life. Zero. Probably because he was sucking on that which was a pipe. There was J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris, that used to pastor in Fort Worth, he would get mad and curse in the pulpit. I mean, he would curse in the pulpit. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if God could use some of these men, then maybe you that is trying extra hard, there might be hope for you. Billy Sunday lost his son to alcohol and almost had a heart attack when it was announced right before he preached. Peter Cartwright was so mean to his audience when they would listen to him preach. If they were bowing their head or they were not paying attention, Peter Cartwright would leave the pulpit, come down, grab them up, punch them in the chest, and chew them out. Send them back down and go back up and start preaching all over again. Ernine Judson was somebody that God used, but Ernine Judson rebelled on the Lord and did not get baptized until right before he left for the mission field. The first 6 years of his life had no converts on the mission field. Dr. John O. Rice and J. Frank Norris could not see eye to eye. They both had newspapers, and they both would chew each other out in their newspapers, slamming each other publicly. So that was their Facebook back then. Slamming each other publicly. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If God could take men that you would consider doing more wrong than you are, then there might be hope for you. You should say amen right about there. God can use you. And by the way, God did not use them because they smoked a cigar, and God did not use them because they sucked on a pipe, and God did not use them because they did these other things. God used them in spite of their wrong. But if God from heaven looked down and used dear men in spite of their wrong, then can I tell you tonight, there's hope for you. God could use you if you'd simply step out and obey God and let God have your weaknesses, and you put away your pipe and you put away your cigar and you put away and you decide that you're going to take and you're going to serve God and give God your very best. But also understand this, if you're looking for the perfect hero, you'll never find them. If you're looking for the perfect hero, if you will, your only hero is a man, if you will, that preaches with great ability. Your only hero that you'll ever have in your life is those that pastor large churches. Your only hero that you'll ever have in your life is those that have a great marriage. The only hero you'll ever have in your life is somebody that serves God where all their kids turn out right. They have to author so many books. They have to be very scholarly in the way that they present that which is a truth from a pulpit. If that's what you're looking at, you're going to have very few heroes in your life. You know, sometimes God would take somebody out of the gutter, and he would save them from the guttermost to the uttermost. Come on. I know this will shock you, but so far, all the preachers that I've had in this pulpit that has preached for us has not been perfect. Now, I know that kind of blows the cookies off the shelf, but I've not had a perfect preacher in this pulpit yet. I know it's really going to shock you, but there's not a perfect man sitting on the platform here. I know that really shocks you. I know it shocks you to understand that you don't have a perfect pastor. I know that just kind of blows your liver so that it does quiver. I know for sure that it bothers you because we don't have a perfect Sunday school teacher and we don't have a perfect deacon among them. I know it. Now, I'm not making an excuse for wrong. I'm saying don't use their wrong as your excuse. Get it right. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't have told about these different people. You should have just said that they were all glory and hallelujah, and they've got halos around their head, and they're walking in perfection. Well, wait a minute. Let me talk to you a little bit and just be honest with you. Do you realize you're dealing with humanity? Just because your dad makes a mistake, just because somebody goes out and sin, that doesn't mean that God's done with them. You have a loving God. You've got a caring God. You've got a God that's rooting for you. You've got a God that wants to use you. Hey, listen to me. When you take and you go into sin and all of a sudden you do something that's wrong, run to God, ask for God's forgiveness, let God help you, but then rise up again, get back serving God. Don't use that as an excuse not to serve God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a forgiving God. He's a restoring God. He loves you. He'll help you, but you've got to be the one to rise up and give God the glory and let God help you in your life. Get off this binge. Well, I tell you what, I've got to be perfect. Well, I've already talked to your wife. I found out that's not true. Well, you know, I've got to be way up here. By the way, no wonder you get so depressed, because you're trying to, and I think you ought to live for God. But also think you ought to enjoy coffee. I didn't say liquor, I said coffee. It's not the same thing. I think if you drink Dr. Pepper, it's a sin against God. Now look, I'm saying this tonight. Oh, you say, preacher, you ought not have fun in church. Well, you have fun where you want to have fun. I'll have fun where I want to have fun. And since I'm the preacher and I get to use the pulpit, I'm going to have fun. Look, stop being so, you know, come on. You know, you got this. You're not as holy as what you think. You lift your arm, your armpit probably stinks tonight. And stop trying to be somebody you're not. Look, we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Hey, get off your high horse tonight. Come down to where God wants to use you tonight. Realize there's a holy God tonight, and God will forgive you, and God will restore you, and God will help you. We got a good God tonight. And I'm saying he'll use you tonight if you'll let him. How is it that God can strengthen us for this good work? You ask for God's help and strength. Number two, you draw strength from God's word. Number three, release your weaknesses that's in your hand. When these fellows found out, stay with me. Let me give you the rest of the story. When these fellows found out that these things that they were doing in their life, the pipe, the cigar, when they found out, hey, these things are not right, you know what they did? They quit. They did quit. When all of a sudden Billy Sunday's preaching, he gets that note. As he was preaching, it's alcohol. He got the note about his son being cast into jail. That night he couldn't even preach. These were real people. These were people that were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when God shows you something, you ought to be sensitive. When God shows you there's something wrong in your life, there's something holding you back. You've done your best, you tried to raise a kid, and all of a sudden it just didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. Can I tell you, you ought to still serve Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, stop using that as your crutch. You've used it as your crutch long enough. Well, the reason that I am who I am is because my mama was who my mama was. Stop blaming your dear mother. Well, the reason that I have the problems I'm having is because my daddy was who my daddy was. Your daddy's been dead for 50 years. Stop it. Look, no, take responsibility for you. I'm saying this tonight, release the weaknesses in your hand. How is it that I can strengthen my hand for this good work? Stemma number next. I organize my workplace. I organize my workplace. Now, by the way, ladies, your workplace might be your home. Ain't nobody saying amen there. Man, you know, I'm telling you, I've been in homes. I wonder if they have carpet. Because you can't find it. You know there's something down there because it's holding you up. But you can't see what it is. Your workplace might be your home. Organize your workplace. It might be that you work on maybe in an office somewhere. Come on. Organize. Might be some things you need to do in your family. Organize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Nehemiah, when it came time to build the wall, here's what he did. He divided the families. He had some that was having the carrying of swords, and even some families would have a trowel in one hand, a sword or a spear in the other hand. You know, they labored according to that which was that they could do. All right? And so organize your workplace. Step number next, have fellowship with godly friends. Godly friends will encourage you. Some of you young couples that has just recently got married, can I tell you, you ought to be fellowshipping with other young couples that are godly young couples that have recently got married. Fellowship. Well, you know, we just want to be alone all the time. No, fellowship. Go out and eat a burger. By the way, if you invite somebody, let me help you a little bit. If you invite somebody out and say, hey, look, I would like for us to go out and eat a burger, and you say these words, they'll probably come every single time. It is my treat.
Well,
you say, that's buying friends. Well, if that's the only way you can get them. You got to start somewhere. I'll pay you if you sit beside me in church. You don't have to go that far. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16, the Bible says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood. The Bible says, and strengthened his hand. You know, sometimes people in church, I'm going to tell you, sometimes people in church would just click. They will. They click. Sometimes it takes several clicks before they realize what a click is. Now, I'm not saying get in a click, but I'm just saying that some people do click. You're smiling because you think I'm going to get myself in trouble is what you're doing. Say we're here and preach. But, you know, if you find people that you click around and you like them, there's nothing wrong with having friends in church. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a friend that you say, man, I like for us to sit together in church. You know, I appreciate your friendship. You know, if you extend a hand of blessing like that, they'll probably say, hey, that's neat. I like that too. But sometimes if you don't do that, then you'll always wind up just not sitting beside someone or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with not sitting beside someone. But I'm saying this, if somebody wants to be your friend, at least let them be your friend. Especially if it's your husband or wife. By the way, listen, if you're sitting in church, dear wife, listen to me now. If you're sitting in church, you ready? And your husband goes like this. Oh. and he puts his arm around you. Don't look at him and say, look, Bubba, get it off.
Well,
don't do that. Don't discourage him. By the way, listen, he puts his arm around, he's a bus captain, you know, and he puts his arm around you, and all of a sudden you smell this strange odor. Don't do this. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to teach you. You know, don't say, get your arm off of me. You're making me stink. Now, you listen here, honey. You better take it any way you can get it. Amen. If he wants to give you a nasty smelling armpit, say thank you. Come on. Who said that? You're not even married, son. You know why he's saying that? He's hoping somebody will realize, here I am, here I am. But I'm saying this, look, if somebody wants to be your friend, thank God for them. Look, if your kid wants to sit beside you in church, thank God for that. There will be a day when they won't. As they get a little bit older, the natural inclination is they'll want to get further and farther away from mom and dad. It's called growing up, somebody wanting their independence. I mean, that's a natural thing. That's growing into adulthood. Hey, why do they still want to hang on you? When your grandkid comes up, grabs your leg as a man, he's got snot rolling down. And he grabs your pant leg, you just had him laundered. And he's, oh, and Grandpa, I love you. Hey, thank God for it. Thank God for it. All of a sudden, you got this beautiful dress on. I can speak because I'm a granddad now. You got this beautiful dress on. Your grandchild hits the cup. It happens to be red Kool-Aid. You've got this white blouse on. Don't smack the grandkid. Clean it up. Thank him or her for thinking about you. And go on with life. What I'm saying is, man, don't be so tight. You know, you would enjoy church if you weren't so tight.
Amen.
You'd enjoy church if you just acted the way God created you instead of trying to be somebody that he never intended you to be.
Amen.
Come on. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying organize your workplace. I'm saying fellowship with godly friends. You know, we got godly friends in this church. We have godly people in this church. I can't see anybody in this church coming to you and saying, hey, look, let's go down to the bar. I'm even one of the deacons with, but I can't see anybody else in this church doing that. But I can't see anybody in the church here saying, hey, come on now, let's go down to some wicked dark place. I can't see that. I can see them saying, hey, let's go over here and fellowship around a milkshake. I can see them, hey, let's go over to Heritage Cafe. Hey, I can see them saying this, hey, let's go outside and play Frisbee. I can see them this, hey, let's stay around after church and fellowship. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. Well, how long you want to talk about it? I don't want to. And you stay 2.5 hours. I can see that. I was leaving the other night. Connor was out here. He showed me his new car that the Lord provided for him. And we stood out there and we just talked about that car and we talked about that car and we talked about that car and we talked about the goodness of God and how good God is and how God takes care of his own. And we fellowshipped and we fellowshipped and we fellowshipped. And then Brother Crutcher, you know, he's locking up the building. And he pulled up beside me and said, are you guys okay? And I said, well, we're just fellowshipping. You know, it's good to fellowship. I said, it's good to fellowship. Can't move the pulpit now. Fellowship with godly friends. Let me just give you a couple more and I'm done. Just two more. Here it is. Ready? Seek counsel. I'm talking about how do you strengthen your hands for this good work. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes, listen to it now, are disappointed. Purposes are disappointed. It says, but in a multitude of counselors, there they are established. Now, what's that talking about? Purposes. It's talking about the things you do. You know, we have a church, and can I tell you, and I love you, but I'm being very candid with you and very honest with you, you can't do everything. The bigger the church gets, you cannot do everything. I named many of the ministries, not all of the ministries, and not even all of the opportunities at the beginning of this message tonight for a reason, to help you to see you can't do everything. And as a church grows, you're going to have to pick and choose what you can do, and you have to grow to the point, to the place where you don't feel bad about not doing everything. Hello, I'm not trying to talk you out of getting in ministries. I'm trying to teach you how to have a balance where you can salvage your family. You know, some of you go soul winning 2 days a week. I go soul winning several times a week. More often than not, more than even the two times. But can I tell you, listen, you have to balance some things because you can't live my life the way I live my life. Are you listening to me? Now, I want you to sacrifice. I want you to give everything you've got. I want you to live for God. I want you to do everything that you possibly can. But can I tell you, dear friend, sometimes you're going to have to tame it down just a little bit and realize you need to breathe. Boy, it's quiet in the church house tonight. I've seen people that have gotten so involved in serving in a local church that they've lost their kids. Now, I'm all for you serving the local church, but I think you ought to bring your kids with you. Make it a family ordeal. Hey, go out soul winning as a family. Serve God together on a bus route as a family. One of the best soul winning partners you ever take in your life is your wife. That rhymed. You know, enjoy serving God with your kids. Some of the best soul winning memories we ever had as a young couple is when we started having children and we put them in a baby stroller and we take them out soul winning. We very rarely ever used the nursery when there were babies because we knew that babies could help us to win more souls than probably anybody else, didn't we, honey? We put them in a baby stroller. We go up to a door and an old grump would answer the door. You know, hi, my name is Mike. This is Sylvia. We're out visiting from Central Baptist Church here, and we just wanted to invite you. That would be his response. And you look down, see that sweet little nothing right there. And he would go, ooh, you got a baby. And now I wasn't smart aleck. I didn't say, well, what did you think it was? But I said, yeah, that's a baby. I'd agree, see, because he's pretty smart. And he said, that's a cute baby. And I'd always say, looks like his mama. You know, and he, goo, 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 goo. And that baby purr like a little bitty kitten, you know. And it would have the attention. Now, can I tell you, that would open the door for us to be able to lead people to Christ. My kids helped us to lead people to Christ before they even had a brain that developed. I could say it's still not developed. But I'm saying this, seek counsel. Seek counsel. You know what? When somebody volunteers for a lot of stuff around here, you know, and I'm just being very honest, I get concerned a little bit. Because I believe you ought to give it everything you've got, but I believe you ought to give it everything you've got being a balanced individual. Amen. Hey, there's a reason that my children, I think Rebecca was telling me that she had scores of visitors for Brother Owen's big day when it had 300 this past Sunday, and she had visitors that came and stuff like that. Well, I'm not there pushing her. But she's still getting visitors, still going soul winning, still leading people to Christ, still excited about people getting saved. I watch these kids that are my children. You know, they would live here if Miss Wells and I would let them and we would say we believe you ought to live at the church, they would sleep here. You say, they're not normal. We know that. But they would actually live here because they love serving Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you, listen, though, you have to help people see how to get the balances in their life. And you as a parent, you have an obligation before God to teach your children balance. They should be reading their Bibles. They should be going to church services. They ought to have a soul winning time where they can go soul winning sometime during the week. There ought to be some times in their life when they be able to tell you about a verse or two that they're memorizing. There ought to be a time in their life where they're able to come to you and tell you about an exciting thing they did on a youth activity and having friends that are godly friends. There will be a time in their life where they come to you and say, Mom and Daddy, God spoke to my heart on the preaching message. I just want to tell you about it. I mean, there ought to be open communication. Now, I'm saying, look, so seek some counsel about how to have some balances in your life. Statement number next, and I'm done. Are you ready? And that is this. That is regain perspective. You know, when all of a sudden your hands start to get weak, regain some proper perspective, if you will. Here's the last verse I'll read you. Over in Psalm 119 and verse 23, the Bible says this. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. The Bible says it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. You know, having upward is climbing towards 800 today. Hey, that's pretty good. But can I testify? This is the Lord's doing. Amen. Having all those people walk the aisle this morning, receiving Christ as Savior, and all those people being baptized this morning, and a new member joining this morning. Hey, can I tell you that's the Lord's doing. See, when our hands become weak, we take kids to camp, no television, no cell phones, no internet, no music, no worldly influences of any type. They get preached to the first night. They'll listen to it. They get out there the next day and they play in the hot sun. They're getting wore out. Their flesh becomes weaker and weaker and weaker by the end of the week. Come on, you remember those camping days when you went to youth camp? Flesh gets weaker and weaker and weaker throughout the end of the week, and their spirit begins to open up even more and more, and they've got less garbage in than what they have to be able to give out, and God begins to speak to their heart, and God begins to change them. And what happens is they begin to get a new perspective. They begin to really see things the way God wanted them to see. And then they come back home. They got this flat screen that controls the living room or controls the bedroom. And they sit there and it just controls them. They get on their cell phone and they can't walk without texting. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, if I'm walking, I've got a text. If I'm driving, I got a text. If I'm eating, I got a text. If I'm sitting at the family table, hey, some of you would be good just to make a rule, no cell phones at the family table. When we eat, we eat. Some of you would be good to make a rule when you go home at night, hey, 9 o'clock, all the cell phones go up, or 8 o'clock, all the cell phones go up, and this is called family time. I don't want you to hear from your friends. I don't want you to hear from anybody else. This is called family. You know, you might have healthier families if it wasn't controlled by an outsider that's not in your home. But you're letting some other teenager control your teenager. You're letting somebody else control your young person, and there's no communication. And then you wonder how come they're not listening to you. They're not listening to you because they can't hear you. And you're getting further and farther away from them instead of closer in. You know, can I tell you? Now, I didn't grow up in a different dispensation, but I grew up when there wasn't cell phones. Really, preacher? You must be 104. But I grew up when the television had rabbit ears. I'm not talking real rabbit ears. We had to have that cellophane paper on the end or whatever you call it. What was it called, honey? Aluminum foil. Thank you, honey, whoever you were. We had to put... I'm not talking to you, Patrick. We had to put that aluminum foil on the end of those rabbit ears. And my dad, why is your face red? My dad made me be the one that was the intenta.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You did it too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Made all you boys do it. Even Rebecca. And the lines were coming through the television. It'd drive you batty if you had that today. You know? And my daddy would say, move to the right. Stand there. And he would never allow me to stand out where I could see what was going on. No, I had to stand beside the set. He said, move to the right. Okay, raise it a little bit higher. Okay, stand there. I'd stand there for 25, 30 minutes while they watched their television. And he would say, okay, Dave, it's your turn. So then Dave would come and I'd get to go sit down. Your arms would get tired. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm losing it. Pick it up, pick it up. He said, where'd you get all your muscles? Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Now, we live in a different era. You know, I lived in the era we had the rotary telephone. You know, and you had to pick it up, had this long 45-foot cord, walk in the other room, bring in your cord, sitting down, come on. But life has become so high-tech nowadays, listen to me, that it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Yeah, I'm talking to you as your pastor now. Listen to me. I cannot tell you how many kids I've counseled in my office that have smartphones that have no business having smartphones. Because they're viewing things they should not be viewing. And they're getting on things they should not be getting on. And it's ruining them. And they're sneaky about it too. That's how come they're not spiritual. That's how come they're sassing you when you tell them to do something. That's how come when you tell them to obey, they're smart mouthing you. It all goes back to what they're putting in their mind. They don't have a big enough mind to contain all that junk. And it's hurting them. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, hey, listen, we need to be able to strengthen our hands for this good work. And God wants to help us to do it. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.